For my five-minute summary, obviously, we won't have time to answer everything that Greg mentioned in his last 20-minute speech, but I'd like to concentrate on three of my affirmative passages that he did respond to in this last speech. First of all, Ezekiel 18, he says, how is this going to be a proverb? Only would be if people believed in something covenantal. Well, Greg, that's right. These people evidently believe something similar to what you believe, that there was a covenantal about sin, that if someone hears sin, somebody else is going to be held guilty. We're talking about spiritually. I'm turning to Ezekiel 18. Verse 2 is a physical analogy about eating sour grapes, and it pretty well describes your position. It is analogous to your position that the father is the one that eats sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. That's Greg's position when you turn over to the analogy. Spiritually, the father sins and the children are held responsible for it. That's exactly your position, really. And Ezekiel 18 is given to refute that. He says, why do innocents die? And I already admitted, it's because of Adam's sin. They die physically, just like an infant can die physically because of a drunk driver's sin. Adam was driven from the Garden of Eden. So we all lost access to the tree of life because of his sin. So we do die because of Adam's sin, indirectly. Some directly, we might say, it might be because of a tornado, but indirectly it's because of Adam's sin. But physical death is not the thing under consideration in Ezekiel 18. It's spiritual death. Look at Ezekiel 18, verse 26. It says, when a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. He dies physically while he's in his sin, and his punishment will be spiritual death. You see that? He dies in his sin, and because he sinned, he shall die, meaning he will receive spiritual death. Ezekiel 18 is talking about spiritual death. It's the opposite of Revelation 14, 13. I believe I have the reference right. It says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Ezekiel 18 is saying, people who die outside the Lord in their sin are not blessed. They're going to die spiritually. Now look at the passage and see if it doesn't answer the question of this debate. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Greg doesn't believe that. He believes that the son does bear the iniquity of the father when it comes to sin. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. So he's talking about it both ways. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. That disagrees with Greg's theology, his framework that says the wickedness of Adam is upon another person, a child, an infant. When the Bible says the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him, that's the one that committed the iniquity. Do you see how this verse directly answers the question in this debate? And then Ecclesiastes 7:29, Greg said, well, look at verse 20, and you'll see it teaches my point. No, Greg? 29 says that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Verse 20 says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That verse doesn't say they're born guilty of sin. It says they all do sin. That's my position. It's like Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us sin, according to verse 20. But verse 29 shows that it's not Adam's fault. It's not because God's fault for creating him with original sin. No, God made everybody upright, but we sin. That's what verse 20 says, basically. We sin. All of us do. And verse 29 says it's not because of anybody but our own selves. Now, Adam didn't inherit sin, but he chose to sin. That's the same for us. I'm responding to now that Greg says, everybody sins, verse 20. Why is there no righteous man? Number one, there is. Jesus. He was. Number two, Adam didn't inherit sin, but he chose to sin. So we all sin for the same reason Adam did. The fact that we sin doesn't prove we inherited sin from Adam, because he didn't inherit sin from Adam, according to Greg, and he chose to sin. And the fact that Jesus didn't sin proves the same thing. Jesus didn't sin. So we don't sin because of Adam's sin. And then number 11, that brings us to the third passage he looked at. Why didn't Jesus sin? Greg said, well, don't you know there was a virgin birth? Greg, how does that help? Wasn't Mary a sinner? Didn't she have Adam's sin? Why didn't he inherit the sin from Adam? I can understand if you thought the sin only was passed down through the father. But if sin is like blonde hair, well, Jeff probably did get his blonde hair from his dad. But some people get blonde hair from their mom Don't you inherit traits from your mom? Why wouldn't he have inherited the Adamic sin from his mom? Look at, before I close, look at Job chapter 25, verse 4. I don't know if Greg would use this passage, but many people use Job 25, verse 4, and I'll be done when I get through with this, to try to prove original sin. But it basically says, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Greg, do you use that to try to prove original sin? If you do, this is saying it comes from the mother. Perhaps you don't. Thank you very much for your time. This is my last speech. I want to tell you how much I appreciate you coming. And I also want to tell everybody, including Greg, how much I appreciate Greg being willing to do this. Most are not willing or don't have the courage to stand up and defend what they believe. Greg not only does it, as you can tell, he does it and he acts like a perfect gentleman the whole time. He has no animosity. He doesn't judge my motives or anything like that. He just keeps it down to a doctrinal discussion of the Scriptures. Thank you very much.